Notes from the Upper West Side, a novel by Dan Wrench.
Chapter 132, That Junior. So I had two excuses, two big fat lies to cover my seemingly unhip behavior over the night before. The first was the President of Spain lie that was so stupid, I immediately threw it in the trash. The second was the Junior emergency lie. In this lie, Junior calls me on the phone with something urgent to disrupt my life, and this urgent life disruptor makes me dart out of the tobacco factory, leaving the whole gang mystified. Where was I going? Why didn't I say goodbye? Why did I seem so upset? That lie, that second lie, the Junior emergency lie, it seemed perfect. But then I thought, hey, wait a minute. That lie isn't much different from the truth, except in the true version of what happened the night before, I had to go to my shift instead of rushing out to help Junior with her emergency. And I was all depressed and anxious in the true version because, first off, I was covering for Kenny on what should have been my night off. And second, I was afraid I might not make it to the tavern on time. The truth could work. Why not go with the truth? But see, the problem with the truth is, it's the truth. And I don't really trust the truth. It's less forgiving. Less, what do they call it? Malleable? Configurable? So I decided to go with the most true-sounding excuse, which also had the advantage of being a lie. The Junior emergency lie. Like I said in maybe the last chapter or so, I didn't know the exact nature of this emergency or the circumstances surrounding it, but I had most of the day to dream up those details. Then I'd head down to the Snatchweed factory and tell the tale to the merriment of all gathered and manage the assembly line for an hour or so, and then head back to the tavern for another agonizing shift with Carrie and the Spaz House regulars. And everything would be back to normal. Hello again, blowjob world. So Sammy and I took Harry to school, and when we got home, Sammy threw on some Rocky and Bullwinkle, and I dove into bed for the precious nap. Yeah, that's me all over, I thought. I lay there in bed staring at the shadow on the ceiling that came from the window drapes. Yeah, that's me, I thought again. I'm the jokester. That really is who I am. That's my skin, the skin I'm supposed to be good in. Jokester skin. And Fonda, the ripped babe with the big round nipples you can see through her shirt? I think now she was giving me blowjob looks when I first showed her the mirror trim packaging. And wasn't it Fonda who actually showed me some pity when, you know, she mistakenly thought my feelings were hurt, when in reality I just had to tend to the Junior emergency? So with that in mind, I bounced through my afternoon routine, which back then was pretty much finishing the nap, then surfing the web, then checking out Schmuckbook, then checking the trades online, then taking the afternoon lather shower. That day, the old shower rhythm was to the tits and glutes of Fonda. Although a lot of asses and tits and faces were competing for my attention. I'm sure I tagged each of my standbys, including my Aunt Judy when she was young, and this 50-year-old chick I knew from Depth Charge Rep, who had gray hair and a face like a crushed cigarette, but whose body I could easily swap out for the body of the babysitter who lived next door. You know, Sarah Beth. Then me and Sammy picked up Harry from school, We went to the park for a half hour and then came home and waited for Sarah Beth to take over and make Sammy giggle. Then I was on my own and on the town at 4 in the afternoon. So I shambled down to the old tobacco factory to be, you know, the early bird. When I got there, some other chick instead of Fonda was working the retail part of the store, and Bang was already in the back putting together packages of snatch weed. He was the earlier bird. When I came through the vestibule and into the factory proper, I saw him sitting at a table right there next to the door. If he glanced up at me when I came in, I didn't notice. He just seemed to keep his head down looking at his work, which was crumbling this brownish tobacco into a mixing bowl that already had a blackish tobacco in it. "Hey, Paul." He was kind of subdued. He didn't look up, and he didn't stop crumbling tobacco. "Oh, hey, Bang," I said. I took off my jacket and went back into the vestibule to throw it on a peg on the wall. "So what's up?" I said when I got back. "Ow. You know," he said. He wasn't subdued, really. He was cold. He was giving me cold shoulder talk.
"Usual shit."
"I hear that. Oh, hey, sorry if I darted out of here real abruptly last night, but I had this junior emergency."
"Huh?"
He said it like he knew I was lying. I ignored the tone. "Yeah, just outside before I came in from getting the metal fingers. She called me up and said, don't forget we're having dinner tonight at Nice Matin with the Vogels. And I'm like, I know she forgot to tell me, but now I gotta get out of here." That's the junior emergency I concocted. And I have to say, I concocted it right there on the spot. And the Vogels? They were friends of my grandparents when I was a kid back in Massachusetts. Funny how Captain Think can dredge people up from my past right when I need them to give color to a lie. Bang turned and looked up at me.
"No shit?"
he asked. "No shit." He grinned big and laughed his famous goose laugh.
"That Junior!"
he roared.
Notes from the Upper West Side is a work of fiction. The people depicted in this work do not exist.
Notes from the Upper West Side. Copyright 2024 by Dan Wrench.